this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on the Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry. Hop-infused hard seltzers.
All right, Daily Ticker time. Brought to you, as always, by our great friends at Pelican Brewing. Their Hard Hops Seltzer presents today's Daily Ticker. Discover Hard Hops Blackberry Hop-infused hard seltzer and experience your hops differently. One last note to put on that trade. Jonnu Smith also going from Miami to Pittsburgh in the deal.
I like it.
It keeps unraveling. Every 5 minutes we go, there's a new piece of the trade that gets unveiled. Who's going to be next? It could be anybody.
Yeah, it could be a million different things going back and forth. Who knows?
Maybe Will Ortner's in the deal. They're going to send his ass to Miami, too.
He's got a board op in Pittsburgh.
He's got we're trading him for a board op. A guy who's going to run, he's running a Pirates games. He's getting dealt straight up.
Catch me at 11. Oh, wait, you said Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, yeah. Joining us now is our wonderful friend, the old reliable, the man who you always know will be there when you need him. He's almost like our Cheers, you know? I feel like that's who Tyson Aldridge is.
Everybody knows his name.
Everybody knows his name, and he's always there for you when you need him.
Now, we need to confirm, Tyson, were you at the concert last night?
You mean Friday night? Wasn't it Friday night?
Saturday. Saturday night.
Yeah. Touche.
Yeah, I was. My ears are still ringing a little bit. But fortunately, you know, I saw some social videos afterwards of, these massive lines outside the park and how it was chaos. But I got there early, boys. That doesn't happen very often.
Look at you planning ahead.
You sent out a photo of all the flames, and you said different goal celebration, which I thought was a great post, but it looked like you were sitting in the press box. Were you in the press box?
Yeah, they had it where if you had your media badge, basically nobody was using the press box. So, I've spent enough time in Providence Park this year. I just showed up and I had my laptop because the Timbers were playing in Toronto. So I banged out a quick gamer for the Oregonian and then pretended like I knew a whole bunch of contemporary pop songs, which I don't.
So. Who was better, Jelly Roll or Post Malone for you? Who did you enjoy more?
I think Post Malone, which surprised me a little bit. Jelly Roll was a little cheesy to me. He was doing the Gen Z like heart emoji thing a little too often, cupping his two hands, and I was just you're 40, man.
You got tattoos on your face. What are you doing?
We don't do that, love. We don't. Come on now.
What are you, Caitlin Clark?
Yeah. What are you, Taylor Swift? Get out of here, Jelly Roll. Who do you think you are?
Yeah. I will say though that photo I posted with all the flames, Providence Park has dabbled with some pyrotechnics and fireworks over the years, but there were a couple times during that where I was just kind of keeping an eye, they're not going to burn this 100-year-old place down, are they? It was pretty impressive.
Tyson Aldridge, our guest, i5corridor.com is where you can find all of his great work.
And the Oregonian now.
And the Oregonians, right? For the Oregonian, too. He's all over the place, man. At Tyson Aldridge on Twitter. You had a piece a couple of weeks ago. I do want to ask you about the Timbers, but you know, it's interesting when you look at a program that you've covered a long time, you've been around a long time in Oregon. You had a piece on their quarterback room as we're now getting closer and closer to the start of the college football season and just kind of how it stacks up, where the guys are at. You went down and kind of had some conversations with people. When you look at the quarterback room, what stood out in covering that room and in the piece, what stood out to you and what do you make of where they're heading this year?
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating because I feel like we've had a lot of somewhat known at the quarterback, especially the last 3 years. And I know obviously Nix and Gabriel were transfers, but they were also transfers who came into Oregon as two of the more accomplished collegiate quarterbacks in college football history. So you kind of had a pretty high floor there. And so coming into this year, you look at that room and there's a lot of guys that we had talked about over the years in terms of high level recruits. You know, Dante Morris, the former 5-star, Austin Novosad and Luke Moga are both highly talented 4-stars. Achilles Smith Jr. came in as a 4-star freshman last year. They have a bunch of dudes who a lot of schools would like. We just haven't seen any of that production on the field. And so obviously Dante Moore comes in and he's the heir apparent. And he's the guy that players like Tez Johnson and DeCorian Moore during the offseason were kind of hyping up with Heisman predictions. But, you know, this is just kind of one of those years where you do have a lot of question marks. And for the Ducks, that just hasn't been around the quarterback position. So I do think that Moore is the guy going into camp. But, man, Austin Novosad has been getting a lot of praise lately. He was, you know, one of the first big flips for Will Stein. Remember, he was committed to Baylor for a year before the Ducks hired Stein and Novosad flipped over. So I think we're just kind of in one of those positions where if Moore has the ceiling that he's been hyped to, I think the Ducks could be really good this year. Obviously, you know, you're breaking in a new offensive line. You have a new running back. You have a whole host of talented but unproven receivers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll just be interesting because, you know, like one of the real nice things that both Gabriel and Nix had the last 3 years is they kind of had a pretty nice safety valve in terms of either Troy Franklin or Tez Johnson or just a guy that they knew they could get the ball over to. And you know, there's just going to be a lot of learning for this Ducks roster this season, which thankfully they don't have like an Ohio State on October 16th this year like they did last year. So I think there might be some growing pains, but I'm pretty high on the overall potential of this group.
Well, even if they have question marks in different areas, and the quarterback is certainly a big one that I've been kind of hinting at even going into the end of their last year of just like what is going to be at that position. You kind of look around the landscape of college football, Tyson, and last year we could have all said Ohio State going in because of how loaded they were. They added Will Howard. They had all these guys return. The portal was great for them. And, yeah, their regular season wasn't quite what we thought, but they figured it out and they won the championship. This year's a little different. You can throw out teams that you think are going to be good, yeah. But I don't know if there's just one clear-cut, I know it 100%. You mentioned the Ducks' schedule. They had an undefeated Big Ten season, which is remarkable. Could you make an argument this year? Maybe they have a better chance at doing more in the playoff, given kind of the uncertainty around the sport with the other teams.
Yeah, but, you know, potentially more in the playoff. Like, I don't expect Oregon to be the number one seed going into the thing this year like they were last year. You know, I think even with an easier Big Ten schedule, I just think the fact that there's less veteran guys on this team, you know, I expect a slip up or two, but I do 100% expect them to be a playoff team. I mean, if you kind of look around the Big Ten, boy, it would be great if Oregon had last year's team this year and they could peak this year instead of going up against an Ohio State team that was kind of a generational talent. But, you know, I think the Ducks are still kind of one of the top three teams in the Big Ten. You know, Penn State's going to be tough, and especially, you know, they're one of the teams that is getting their quarterback back. So they are, you know, kind of a little bit of a head start ahead of everybody. But if you look at the rest of Oregon's schedule, like, you know, it's a bit of a come down after last season, guys. Like I know, you know, you'll see a few different Big Ten teams than you did last year, but it was just so crazy that last season you had this whole hype of new conference and you're playing the number one or whatever Ohio State was when they came into town, number one and number two team into the country, like midway through. Like that was something. And this year is just a little bit more. I'm intrigued to see kind of what the cadence of this year's schedule is, because it's not like you have, you know, an Auburn in week one like Oregon has had in some other years, or that big Ohio State in the middle of the season. So I think obviously that Penn State game is going to have a ton of weight on it. But other than that, I think this is a schedule that Oregon is going to be able to succeed with, and I think get a lot of guys playing time that kind of get them reps going into the playoff, because obviously, as we saw last year, the playoff is a whole different season than what the regular season is now in college football.
How dare the Montana Grizzly Tyson Alger disrespect Montana State coming to Autzen Stadium on opening day? How dare? That's a national champion.
Oh, he hates Montana
State.
That's
a national champion opponent, Tyson.
I mean, like, I just don't know a whole lot about Division III schools. You know, it's that small little town out in central Montana.
So Tyson, I mean, we did this jokingly on the show. I said, I think Onovasad's going to be the quarterback. I just think it's a better quarterback name. I also didn't love what I saw from Dante Moore last time I saw him, but that was a long time ago and on a different team. But you legitimately think that, like, if Dante is, I don't even know what it is for you, a two-game struggle, a one-game struggle, a three-game struggle, they give Novosad a shot? Are you kind of hinting at that based on what your read is of the situation?
I think Novosad will get reps if Moore struggles. I think that they're just, you know, they're about the same age or the same maturity level. I think, you know, Novosad has kind of put in the work, but, you know, it's one of those things where even we're all saying that it's Moore's going to be the guy and we think it's going to be him. But the coaches did the thing throughout the spring where they said, of course, it's going to be a competition. And no, we're not going to name a starter. So, you know, they've left themselves a little bit of wiggle room. But, you know, Oregon's just in a spot right now where, you know, even though this might be a year where they're not peaking quite where they were last year, like they're still going to be good enough to get into the playoff, and I think. And you're kind of in a point now where it's like, okay, if you are struggling, like, and you have somebody that's comparable, I think coaches are going to be a little quicker to make changes now, just because seasons aren't going to be over. You know, it's not like there's a tank in college football. Granted, it doesn't really seem like there is in the NBA. It doesn't really seem like there is in the NBA anymore either. So,
a tank in college football would be a lot of fun. Watching teams try for the number one recruit in the country, that'd be pretty badass. Seeing teams purposely lose games late in the year. Tyson Aldridge is our guest. i5corridor.com, at Tyson Aldridge on Twitter. You can go follow him there. You're now, as you mentioned, you're at Providence here tonight watching a concert in the press box. That's going to be a cool experience. Writing about the team. What's going on with the Timbers? I got beef with Anthony. I know he's hurt, but I gambled on him the other night to score a goal. He didn't score a goal, so I'm disappointed in Anthony. What do we make of the Timbers and where they're at? And also, your piece on the Apple TV, kind of behind the scenes of their feature broadcast, was fascinating. So what'd you find out in writing that?
Boys, there's been about 2.5 months where I could have come on and said, like, positive things about the Timbers. That's gone. Like, it's their team. All their good players are hurt right now. Jonathan Rodriguez, who led them in scoring last year, is now out for the season with a knee injury. Anthony, who replaced him and was currently leading the Timbers in scoring, is now going to be out for about 2 months. The guy who replaced Anthony, Omer Fernandez, got injured during the Toronto game, and Phil Neville said it didn't look good. So essentially, you have a team right now that's still sitting in a pretty good spot in the overall standings. They're fourth. They're 4 points out of third. They're way ahead of last year's pace, but they are absolutely hitting a wall. And it will be interesting to see what happens with them over the next 3 weeks as the summer transfer window approaches. As for the Apple thing, I had a fun little Sunday. You know, I got an email that were like, hey, like, you wanna watch a game differently? And I was like, heck yeah. So I showed up at Providence Park on a 95-degree day and sat in the truck, the broadcast truck. I got to go in the booth, so I hung out with, like, Jake Zivin and Diego Valeri. And, you know, Apple's pretty good at throwing out, like, kind of the trendy press release words, like enhanced production. And, you know, we have all these extra cameras and all, you know, they're really trying to fluff up what their new Sunday night soccer broadcast is. So essentially, I just kind of wanted to go to behind the scenes and figure out what all those buzzwords actually mean, and had a pretty good time.
Based on what you saw and what you've seen, how do you think they would have handled the Pac-12 if they would have got the media rights deal?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think the production would have been solid. I don't know about the overall selling of it. You know, I think Apple is still a little obscure in terms of where to find stuff, like, you know, just how they advertise. I like some of the aspects of, you know, because I watch a lot of the MLS games now to keep track on the league, and I think the overall production quality is pretty good, and, like, the actual TV, I think they shoot all their games in 1080, which is kind of a bit of an outlier in terms of sports coverage these days. I don't know. I'm still in the camp where I think that's probably where it's heading. I just don't think they were quite ready for it yet. And maybe this is what they're using to kind of position themselves for negotiations a few years down the road with football.
Yeah, there's no doubt the baseball and the soccer broadcast, when I watch them, the quality is incredible. I think the only fear that I have, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, because you're newer to the soccer game, right? It's become a bigger part of your website and covering the Timbers. I think it's a great strategy on your part to give that kind of voice when a lot of the coverage of the team at other, you know, papers and stuff is going away. Do you think the Apple TV deal has been good for the MLS? Because I go back and forth where the quality of it's great. I love the broadcast when I do watch it.
I don't think it has, but it's good coverage.
But it's also out of sight, out of mind, and it's on a streaming platform, and you got to pay for it, and it's behind. Yeah, it's interesting that they've gone that route where it makes sense for their diehard fans, but can you grow the sport on Apple TV?
Yeah, that's where I'm kind of mixed with it, because, again, I think the people who were MLS fans beforehand are probably you know, they know how to watch the games. They're probably subscribed to Apple. I don't think that you're picking up a whole bunch of like new, you know, stragglers, unless it's somebody who already has Apple TV and they happen to catch like the free Sunday night soccer broadcast and they're like, okay, I want to pay for this. But I think, you know, there had been some owners who had complained about it before this year, because I believe this is the third year of Apple's coverage. This is the first year they've also started the Sunday night soccer thing. So I think, you know, maybe that's trying to, you know, cull some of the frustration that some of the owners have had in terms of visibility. But, you know, I don't know if it was the overall the best league option to bring in a player of Messi's worldwide fame and then paywall him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I do think that that's the player that you're probably going to pick up the most casual fan with. And I know those games have been, you know, they're not all exclusively on Apple, but I feel like you probably want to open up the well as wide as you can when you have a player of Messi's visibility in the league. And I don't know, it's hard to tell, because again, Apple won't share numbers, and you know, I'm assuming that if the numbers were really, really good, they'd probably share them. But
right.
You know, that's where we're at.
We got a deep dive on the Berthalds. We find out if they're crappy owners or not, because this WNBA thing is a disaster.
Oh yeah,
so
we're
far.
Getting a full WNBA coverage into the corridors.
Like, are they
plans?
Good owners? Just because the Thorns exist, I don't know if that makes them good. But right now, they seem like a disaster.
You mean to say it's probably not a good sign that like a year before your franchise like plays its first game, shifting presidents around, not a good thing?
Tyson, they're 10 months away from everything and they got no employees.
I mean, choosing the fire should have been the first red flag.
Well, I mean, what's interesting with that group too is, I mean, if you look at the Thorns, and they're all right this year, but you know, there was a lot of kind of confusion last year around when they made their manager change. And, you know, Rob Gale is probably one of my favorite coaches to cover in this city, and he's one of the nicest guys. But I think he, you know, coached like 5 games, and they're like, you know what, we're not going to do a national search. Like, this guy's going to be our permanent manager. And it just seemed
a red flag.
It seemed very confusing at the time. And again, like, Gale has rebounded. He's done okay. But it was just kind of, you know, one of those things that you write down in the notebook when you're talking about a new ownership group.
Yeah. Tyson Alger, go subscribe to the Substack, i5corridor.com. Great coverage of all the Northwest sports scenes. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Tyson Alger. He's our old faithful. He's our old reliable. Whenever we need him, he's there. The bat signal goes up. Tyson hops on. Thanks as always, buddy, and I look forward to seeing you at a Duck game soon.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Tyson Alger, the i5 Corridor.
He got a free concert yesterday or Saturday.
Dude, brilliant move on his part, just with a credential.
I always wonder why they don't let the press to just come in and do that. It's never used.
I'm coming. I mean, nobody's buying the press room to go watch a concert. You're not selling those tickets, so the seats are available.
If I would have gone to Timbers games ever, like if I was Swag.
Swag probably could have gone.
Swag got his wife into there?
Probably, I would think so.
I mean, you're there a lot. They know you.
I mean, if there's room in the media room, let me in. Come on.
Yeah, what would they care if your wife is with you?
Jelly Roll doing the hard hands thing's a little douchey.
I try to tell you, Post Malone's, he was the headliner of that concert.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. He's the bigger deal.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's a controversial statement. I don't listen to much Jelly Roll, though, so I don't know.
I thought you were a Jelly Roll guy.
Not a big Jelly Roll guy, no.
I mean,
I would probably like his music, I just haven't listened to much of it. When I hear a Jelly Roll song, I'm like, that's not bad.
I mean, are we surprised he's pandering?
I love you, man.
Love you, Portland.
I love you guys.
Here's your heart.
Hey, YouTube, I love you.
SGA does that in OKC.
I love you.
They do that as a celebration.
Remember the guy in Indy who did that to Caitlin Clark at her press conference?
Yeah, I do.
You do that to me more often, we're going to be getting along just fine. What?
Very weird.
Dude,
the Dakich?
Doyle.
What? It was Doyle.
I think it was Greg with 2 G's, Doyle.
He just made me really uncomfortable.
He's also the guy that asked Pascal about not playing as hard. And Pascal was like, who are you?
Who the hell are you? Who do you work for?
Why are you asking that?
Pelican Brewing Hard Hops presents today's Daily Ticker. Discover Hard Hops Blackberry Infused Hard Hops. Oh, sorry. And experience your hops differently. I got a little case of that in our gift package last week.
Is it gone?
It is not gone. You know why it's not gone? I'm a big seltzer guy on the golf course, and I'm saving it for my round on Thursday.
I almost did the douchiest thing you could do.
What'd you do?
Maybe the douchiest thing in fan history.
Oh, wow.
I had a Pelican t-shirt in that swag box.
You did.
And I was about to wear it this morning, and then I remember we do pre-video show things.
Oh, we do, yeah. Man, what the hell, you know?
So if you're doing that, I got to be shirtless.
I think going shirtless would be pretty funny, A. And B, where would he want, man?
Hey, guys, am I missing anything here today? What's going on here?
Went a little long there talking some Ducks and Timbers. Look at you thinking Austin Novosad to spike football on June 30th. Look at you over there.
I tried to tell you, dude. Don't be shocked. Austin Novosad leading the Ducks, and you're going to be like, hey, Sprague was right.
We'll see who's laughing when Dante Moore's in New York.
Dirt was raw.
For the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Third straight quarterback.
No chance.
We'll see how that goes. We'll come back after this on the Vape. More of our post Malone post game show thoughts coming in. P1 Costa saying Jelly Roll was only 35 minutes of the show.
Only 35 minutes?
I think Post Malone's the bigger deal.
No, I know he is. Yeah. I just would expect him to have an hour and Post Malone go for like an hour and a half.
You go an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Jelly Roll really leans into the motivational side. Way too much talking. That drives me nuts. Just shut up. Shut up and sing. Can I
Portland!
Do that?
Portland! I, too, didn't believe I would be here.
I used to be way fatter than I am now.
I was in prison.
I lost weight.
My tattoos are terrible.
Right across the street from a football stadium.
But I love you, Portland.
I mean, it's a good motivational story. I'll grant you that. But can we see some songs there? Can we get some music in? You know,
I'll say it.
Talking during concerts drives me nuts.
The country Post Malone's not my vibe, but I did go to the Post Malone concert at the Moda two years ago, whatever it was.
White Iverson days, pre-country days.
Yeah. Right up my alley.
Congratulations.
Wu-Tang's in town tonight. We got listeners going to Wu-Tang tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Wu-Tang is at the Moda Center
tonight.
Dude,
Post Malone and Jelly Roll followed by Wu-Tang.
Look at us in Portland. Are we back? Is Portland back? Is that what we're finding out right
Portland
now?
Portland might be back.
Are we back? Does it mean we're getting a baseball team?
Portland's having a moment right
we're
now.
We're getting good concerts?
We're not getting a
baseball. If we're getting concerts, that means we're getting a baseball team.
No.
I think we're back. I think maybe an NFL team, too. Let's go.
That area really needs a stadium.
Desperately does.
God, it needs a stadium in the worst ways. We could have more concerts.
We could. Outdoor summer concerts at a baseball stadium.
Such a vibe, dude.
By the river. You could take Dirt's Diamond Pontoon Club boats up to the baseball stadium for your summer concert series. What are we doing here? Not that this is breaking news in any way, shape, or form, because it's been talked about for weeks on end, but it's officially official. Well, actually, it's not officially official, but it's about as close to being officially official as you could possibly be.
Okay.
And that is that the Texas State Board has approved a $5 million buyout for them to leave the Sun Belt, and they were heading to the Pac-12.
Yeah, Bobcats.
Bobcats are coming your way.
Yeah, we've talked about this a couple times
8,000 different ways.
Really nothing to add to it.
We will get the official announcement from the Pac-12 in about an hour, probably, hour and a half, something like that. It'll come out this morning.
What I love most is when listeners will troll us, and there's one listener that trolls us, and I'm pretty sure it's the same person with 98 different accounts on Portland State and Mariners. Hasn't been a lot of Mariner trolling lately.
No.
Trends up, bitch. Not right now.
They actually won the series this weekend. You should be trolling us.
Good for them.
Yeah.
But trolled with a Portland State beating Texas State box score, and I was like, oh, that's not a good look for Texas. So, 2002.
Oh. What sport? Football or basketball?
It was football.
Football, they beat him in 2002.
It was like 16-7. Yeah. And I'm like, this is a good troll.
Ooh,
2002.
Okay. You know.
All right.
Way back in the day, you know, we beat them in a sport. In the Pac-12.
I don't know if he's ever
going to. Wu-Tang is tomorrow. My apologies. Tomorrow night.
If he's ever going to be on stage at a concert, but whenever we, the next, like, big Asian musical act. Is Young Hansen on the stage?
I think he should be. Get him a jersey. Get him out there.
Okay.
You know. Hanging with the people. Speaking of which, should we hear from the new center? You want to hear from the new center?
Well, as we talked about on Friday, hear from the interpreter.
Well, not in one answer. In one answer, he spoke English. He gave it a shot.
Answer.
And you know what? This guy, right up my alley.
Are you with me now on the underrated job, translator?
Without a doubt, it's an underrated job. I want that job. I just don't know how to speak Chinese. But Young Hansen, I will learn and I will become your interpreter if you're looking for one. And then on top of that, I wonder if he's got the pre-order of NCAA 26 that's coming out next week. You think Young Hansen's a big college football guy? I can see it. I want to know this guy. Let's talk about Young Hansen and a few more thoughts on DeAndre Ayton, who was bought out last night and is heading into free agency. All that to come next. But first, here's us with a update. The sensation has hit our shores. Where were you Friday?
The big tariff.
Watching the Young Hansen press conference. Were you watching? Were you glued to it?
I saw it. I didn't watch it live, but I went back.
Come on. You're not catching this fever?
I love it.
All time sleep. And I like
give it to me again,
play
yeah.
PS5.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. And I like eat
Yeah, there it is.
Dude, we need the laugh. First off, the laugh needs to be a drop.
I love that
we
laugh.
Need that laugh as a drop. It's phenomenal. He loves to eat. He loves to play PS5, and he loves to sleep.
Now, that laugh.
My man, Young Hansen.
That laugh is legitimately how I think he laughs, but it's also the same laugh we all give to people as a courtesy laugh, right?
I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
Pretty solid. I was glued to this on Friday. I mean, this guy is fascinating to me. I'd never heard of him before.
It's because nobody knows anything about him.
We drafted the next Jokic. He's from China. I'm all fired up. Here is Chauncey Billups talking about his rookie season expectations.
I just see him just continuing to get better and better and better and learn our game, learn our system, offensively and defensively, learning the language. You know, it's just so much development that needs to happen. But, you know, I will feel very comfortable putting him in the game right now. He's that good, you know. So, to me, this is not like a project type of situation. This guy's ready to go, you know. But he's in, you know, a crowded room, you know, D.A., D.C., and Rob, Hanson, Lop.
Not anymore.
So, this will be an incredible educational year for him. And when he does get a chance to play, I think everybody will be really impressed.
Everybody's going to be really impressed.
This guy's going to play 15 minutes a game.
He definitely is now.
Now the DA is gone, and they're probably not going to want to play Rob Will because, like, why would you? You know, and I don't think it's the wrong move. I find a couple things interesting about him. One, incredibly likable kid.
He seems like it.
He seems fun. He also seems like he really wants to put in the work, and yep. I hope that that pays off for them. I don't think taking him at 16 is the same swing as if you would have taken him at 6. But I also don't dismiss the idea that that was a swing still to the point of...
That's a reach.
All I keep hearing about is how the Nets were going to get him. The Nets. So we're basing our entire organizational decisions on being scared of the Nets.
The Nets are a scary franchise,
so,
don't
like,
you know?
But they also really like him, reportedly, yeah. And that's great.
And he said on the press conference he thought he was going to be drafted around 20, and so he wasn't surprised that he went at 16.
It was Brooklyn. The obvious team here is Brooklyn, and so Portland didn't want to trade back further from 16, so they took him. Okay, fine. I hope it pays off. He's clearly a developmental project, but also they're saying he's ready to go right now. So I don't know what that means for the ceiling. Maybe they really do buy into the Chinese Jokic stuff. There's the idea that he's kind of a unicorn that no other team could identify outside of them in Brooklyn. I heard a blurb from Ryan Russillo, who everybody linked to and said, Russillo really loved this guy. And he basically was like, I was kind of being tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, he's got some stuff, but he didn't do a whole lot in the Chinese League.
Like, he's the future of the NBA.
I think he won DPOY, but I don't know if winning DPOY in the China League is the same as being in the DPOY conversation in the NBA. So
I think if you're trying to lean on things, you would say it would have to be his combine performance more so than what he did in the Chinese Basketball Association.
I have no problem with anybody holding on to optimism here. I'm going to be the same way and be rooting for this kid to be really good. I also think this big swing and how he's being sold and what he's going to be, I think those are up for interpretations. We're going to have to kind of wait and see.
Yeah, I view this the same way I viewed it on Wednesday. I'm rooting for him to succeed. He seems like a good kid. The answer about what he does off the court was hilarious. I love his laugh. This is a boom or bust hire for this group. It has to be. Like, this is it. This is your last stand. I'm not saying you fire him in 4 months. Mm. But if this backfires and this guy looks like he doesn't belong anywhere near an NBA court throughout the course of his rookie season... Yeah, dude, you're going to serious, especially some of the guys you had a chance to go get at 11 or again at 15 or 16, wherever they ended up picking, end up popping in year one. It's going to look horrific for them. But if he comes out, has a good rookie year, coming off the bench, he can shoot, he can move a little bit, he can do the playmaking things that they're... I'm not asking you to be rookie of the year or an all-star in year one. I'm just asking you to look like you belong on an NBA floor. And if you can do that at a decent level, he's so young and you continue to develop, then maybe they got something going for him. Here is Young Hansen on what he needs to improve on.
I need a workout, so I need more fast, more strong. I 需要在内线就是更多的对抗，然后去获得篮板球，然后去在内线能够打得更好，就是。
He tried to be more physical in the paint. Like, try to grab a rebound. Like, try to get post points every time. Like, finish that.
I've always wondered with an interpreter how many times they just make something up.
I think they paraphrase.
You mean the paraphrasing?
I mean, sometimes the answer's short enough where they just say outright, but I think sometimes if they're, like, giving explanation that they have to translate, you can cut to the
Get to the point of it. Yeah. Give me the bullet points of what you had to say there.
I always wonder, too, how much does the translation get screwed up by the translator? Now, they're not. They're largely not, right? They're people
who are
pretty qualified at what they do. But could you imagine if a guy was able to fake his way all the way to being a pro athlete translator?
But the athlete doesn't know because they don't speak the English language. So they're just like, I'm assuming you're telling me what's right here. I trust you.
And then on the other side, like, what if a translator? Think about this. What if a translator?
All-time grift.
Was working as a pseudo agent. And so, like, when the player is saying, oh, I want to work really hard and I want to get better this offseason, the guy goes, he says he's going to work hard, real hard this offseason, but the team needs to really add to the roster.
All of a sudden, the cameras start clicking, follow-up questions. What? I just said I was going
to
work
hard. And then he translates back. They're wondering what you're going to do to work hard this summer.
Trade the shooting guard. That guy's a bomb. Get him the hell out of here.
Like, wouldn't it be great if an interpreter basically became a pseudo agent or mouthpiece for an athlete, even though they weren't trying to say what they're saying?
We've had one that has done gambling. Now we might as well have one that is misleading their athlete that they're translating for in terms of what they're communicating. It is. I was wondering that watching it on Friday of like, I have no clue what this guy's saying. He could be totally making this up right now. I'm just going to take his word for it, but hey, guy, I no idea.
Can I give you a thing I thought about on Friday?
What?
I want to get the interpreter on the show.
I think that'd be a great get. If we could find a way to get him on the show, that'd
be a lot
of fun.
I'm going to email the Blazers today. I want to talk to an interpreter.
I
want to know what
do.
This life is like.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be everywhere at all times with him.
He also, let me see this. He also, this guy might not have a job for very long.
首先感谢各位媒体朋友辛苦到来，然后就是教练刚才。 就是对我的夸奖，就是非常开心、非常激动，然后被选中来到这里，然后争取下一次我来开发布会的时候把旁边这位给踢走。Firstly,
thank you for everyone coming here today, and then he feels so excited to come here, be one of the Blazers, and also Coach Chancey is like a probation, making him feel good. Hey, thank you, Chancey. And this is the next time, try to kick him out, and he can be here by himself.
He wants to kick out his translator. He wants to boot the guy. He wants to learn English and boot his translator out.
Now, that guy's got to be kind of pissed, right? He's in Portland. The weather's great. Like, he's like, dude, I got to go back to China?
I just got here, man.
Come on.
Let me have a couple year run at least before you learn English.
I'm going to email the Blazers, and I'm sure they're going to say no, but I would love to just talk to the translator. It's just a fun interview.
Fun interview.
Just want to know what that life is like.
Yeah, just balancing
he got to fly private.
It's a great gig.
Did you see him up at the podium?
He's
the one that gets to do the talking.
Yep.
He gets all the camera time. He gets all the team merch that the player gets because he's the translator.
He does.
He's got locker room access.
He's going to sit behind the bench for every game.
He's
going to
sit.
Be there.
Well, and Chauncey talked about it, too. They have a language barrier. We brought this up Friday. Was there going to be any communication issues? And Chauncey was like, yeah, we got to figure some stuff out. Some of this is pretty universal because it's basketball, but we'll figure the language stuff out. That guy might be in the timeouts. Just saying what Chauncey's
calling
saying right
up a play.
In his ear.
Drawing it up.
Young. Go there, break right, go screen, and then turn and dip down. That's what he's telling you.
Look, Chinese Jokic doesn't need any coaching, but for what he does, here's Chauncey on that.
Obviously, it's a little unique, you know, having to kind of coach through the translator, but I anticipate that won't happen for too long. He's really determined to understand the language, be able to speak the language. Obviously, you can see him trying and doing a really good job already trying to answer the questions, but basketball language is kind of universal, you know. It will probably sound really fast to him as it's coming at him, but we'll be spending a lot of time on it, you know. There'll be some adjustments that you have to make naturally, you know, in film sessions and huddles and things of that nature, but I'm excited for it.
The Chinese sensation has landed on our shores. He is here.
By the way, we have breaking news.
What do we have? We have actual big breaking news?
It is actual. Well, it goes back to one of our segments earlier.
Oh, what?
The woman from the civil suit is withdrawing her case against Jake Ratzlaff.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Still a suspension, though, because it's honor code. You can't have premarital sex.
Yeah.
So now the idea of him transferring does seem a lot more palatable.
He's got to hop in right now, though, if you're going to have any chance of learning anything.
Yeah, good luck, man. It's not a lot of time to figure out that offense. He's only got a couple of weeks before fall camp begins. So interesting. That is a big bit of news. I just want to hear this one more time because I love it. And I think we might have come up with a new nickname for
him. Sometimes I sleep. All time sleep's
a good nickname.
I like play PS5. I like eat.
That's so good,
that
dude. That
you gotta
is
pull
so
the
good.
Ordner, can you pull the laughs, yeah, laughs from those clips? Because I love the laugh.
Also, somebody chiming in at the fan text line. Did Chauncey Billups just drop a basketball's basketball on us?
Yes,
I think
he did.
He dropped a basketball's basketball. That's our first time we've ever had that on the show. Let's wrap it up on a Monday. We'll do it next on The Fam. 8:51. Biggest news of the day is clearly that EA Sports is bringing their college basketball video game back. That was thank you. Thank you, Young Hansen. He's fine. I know he's going to play the game.
EA Sports.
It's in the game.
It's in the game.
He's going to dominate, take some team to a Final Four run. Let's go. Can't wait. Sprague's all excited.
It's just ridiculous.
You know what comes out next week again?
Grown-ass men.
Basketball video games! NCAA football's back out next week,
dudes,
bitch.
Dudes can't have fun anymore.
Yeah, what's up with this? Why you got a fun shame, man? Let me have fun my own way, all right?
Look, you do what you want to do in your own time. I'm not spending $1,000 on a game system and then acting like I achieved anything by being in Dynasty mode. It's my sick Dynasty mode.
Sounds like somebody who can't win in Dynasty mode.
It's going to win back-to-back titles.
Can't win championships. Sounds like somebody who can't win at all. Seems a little sensitive about this.
Not like us, Dirk. We win all the time.
We win all the championships. Somebody's just jelly of all this hardware I got in my trophy case now.
I won a championship with Grambling State once. Pretty legit.
Think about it, dude. Oregon State could win some titles.
They could. Oh, yeah. What a title. No chance of doing that in real life.
What do you do in your spare time?
You gotta live in make-believe land if you want to win a championship.
I'm in Dynasty mode right now. I'm currently building my third different champion.
God, who should my first Dynasty be when it comes out next week? Oh, big week next week.
No wonder Ortner's
big
single.
Big week
next week. What are you doing in your spare time, Ortner?
Will, I'm going to be the Billy Madison moment with the kid holding on to the other kid's cheeks. Don't just stay here as long as you can.
I'm telling you.
Give me one of those.
I do the three G's. The three G's. Women don't like the three G's. Gym, golfing, and gambling. They don't like that.
Dirt lost his golfing. He barely has his video games.
It's all gone, man.
It's all
evaporated.
I can make fun of it all I want. Dirt's like, I just want to go back to that life.
I just want to, you know, just give me, can I get like 3 days? Like 3 days a month. Is that too much to ask for?
You can come hang out with me and the boys.
Like a 3 day old Dirt hall pass a month. Is that too much?
Now, aren't these video games coming where they basically are designed to update the rosters, the software?
You know, I don't.
They've
this
been
year in
that.
College football,
they've
they
been doing that.
Yeah, they do it throughout.
So what's
now?
The point of buying the newest version?
Dude, it's got all the new stuff in it.
Better graphics.
It's so sick. There's a pop tart in my video game now.
Road to Glory has high school football now.
If you win the pop tart bowl, there's an actual pop tart in there.
Oh, Bishop Gorman,
dude.
What do you do? I'm so sick. I play with high school
kids. They actually shoot a Pop-Tart out of your PS5 into your lab, and you eat the Pop-Tart just like that.
That would actually.
It's remarkable technology.
Would get me to play.
People helping people, dude. It's a beautiful thing.
That would get me to play it, but right now I'm like, what's the point of you spending. How much that game cost? 80?
No.
Like 70.
It's like 70.
Is it $70 now?
It's like $69.99 unless you get the MVP bundle for early access, then which I definitely will do.
I was going to say, then you get Madden 2, which really makes it a steal.
I've got the Platinum feature.
Ooh, what's worse, claiming championships in Dynasty mode video games or claiming you go urban hiking? That's a great point. Sprague sucks at video games. That's why. See? I know.
Suck at
He's
video
bad.
Games.
They
found me
jealous.
Out.
They spotted you.
Going on a nice urban hike today with my dog. I'm going to do it right when I get home. It's going to be a scorcher.
Solo dad or solo just duty.
Dude,
no,
it's
no
solo
family.
Man day.
Solo man day for the Sprager. Well, I got Teddy Ballgame's first swim lesson today, so we'll see if we survive that. It's coming up later.
Pasty ass in that pool.
Don't make fun of my farmer's tan if you see me there. That will do it for us, folks. If you're missing the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com. At Dirt and Sprague and at 1080thefan. We had Tyson Alger on at the I-5 quarter. Talk a little Ducks. Talk a little Timbers with him. Ton on DeAndre Ayton, who got bought out last night. We'll see what news breaks today. Thanks so much for being a part of our Monday. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel on YouTube. If you haven't done so yet, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Calling us next. Listen to 1080 The Fan.